It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a beautiful Thursday edition of Overtime. Somebody has set the mood in Sioux Falls to Seattle Coffee Shop today. Dark, dim, rainy, but it is a beautiful day in the sports world on the heels of the greatest, most improbable comeback we have seen in any NBA Finals game. Oh my goodness, how did they blow it from a Spurs perspective? And oh my goodness, I'm so glad we stayed from the perspective of everybody at MSG last night. What a wild game it was as the Knicks take a 3-1 lead in the series. Some would say it is over. Turn out the lights. The Spurs can't finish anything. And the Knicks find a way to get the job done. Unbelievable. Game number 4 last night. Game 5, we got to wait, coming up on Saturday. Knicks and the Spurs from San Antonio. That is a 7:30 go time. But between now and Saturday, it is all love for OG Anunoby. All love for Jalen Brunson and his missed shot in the clutch that OG followed with an iconic tip that will live in lore of New York basketball fans forever. Amazing shot. Could be the one that propels the Knicks for their first title since, what is it, 1973. Long time coming. OG Anunoby, a massive hero last night, and Mitch Johnson and the Spurs, yuck, what the heck was that in the second half? We'll break it all down throughout today's show. Welcome in again to the Thursday early and shortened edition of Overtime, June 11th. We're talking College World Series with Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network. His North Carolina Tar Heels, one of the leaders of the pack as far as odds go for the College World Series that begins tomorrow. We'll see Troy in West Virginia up first, Ole Miss in North Carolina from down in Omaha. And then on Saturday, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, and Georgia concluding round number one of the College World Series. We break down the field, the dark horses. Troy is the dark horse, but what other team is undervalued at this stage with Wayne McDonald Jr. and more of the ACC Network coming up here in about 20 minutes. In about 40 minutes, we're talking all things NBA. Sprinkle into the World Cup, which, in case you're wondering, if you're not a big football, soccer fan, that starts today. Team USA debuts on the pitch, not the field, not the soccer field, not the grass, but the pitch. Team USA is out there in Los Angeles tomorrow for a matchup against Paraguay. That is an 8 o'clock start time tomorrow night. World Cup odds and more at the end of hour one. And then we dive right in. Headlines and highlights in hour two. Good, the bad, the ugly, as well as some significant NFL news to share. $500 million. $500 million for Patrick Mahomes to stick around in Kansas City until at least 2033, another long-term tinker of a deal. And again, nothing is exactly what it is in NFL dollars and deals, but a massive hallmark milestone leaped over by the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. $503 million through 2033 for Patrick Mahomes on a newly adjusted contract for the future. And Tucker Kraft speaking out about his future with the Green Bay Packers, saying, I love it here. I want to stay here. I want to win. And of course, yeah, contract will take care of itself. We'll get you the latest on Tucker Kraft and some commentary yesterday and a very inspiring injury update for the Timberlake, South Dakota native before we are done. Let's get right to it. In the NBA last night, there were a couple of really bonehead plays. There was a bonehead half of coaching for Mitch Johnson. We'll dive into that in a little bit. But bonehead plays down the stretch. Knicks were trailing by one. Josh Hart pokes the ball free. Free run to the basket. Goes up for a slam. Lets it go. Like he couldn't have confidence to slam it through the net, just lets it go, lets it float, it bounces off, Spurs get the ball back. And all the fans at MSG said, oh my gosh, are you kidding? We worked all the way back into the game for us to miss a wide open dunk, wide open layup, anything but that would have sufficed for Josh Hart. Now, he would have been the bozo of the day. You can put the little red nose on him, say, oh my gosh, Josh Hart missed opportunity. And then De'Aaron Fox says, hold my beer last night, because the Spurs get a steal on one of the ensuing possessions. Just about 15 seconds to go in the game, and De'Aaron Fox has a relatively open road to the basket. There's some pressure behind him. I believe Cat was the closest player in proximity, and the Spurs have a one-point lead with De'Aaron Fox with the basketball, limited seconds to go, and he decides to go for the basket, misses the basket. Could have been a kill shot, gone up by three. Not necessarily a slam of the door, especially with how clutch the Knicks have been. But the other option, the better option, the can-do, must-do option is to dribble the basketball around, buy some time, force them to foul you, and guarantee yourself two shots to make it a two-point game, to make it a maybe three-point game, and bleed that clock out. But Fox goes at the rim, has it partially altered, partially blocked, and the Knicks get the basketball back, down one, and Jalen Brunson lets it rip on this shot. Give it a listen, this courtesy of the NBA on Twitter.
Basket go flat for Jalen Brunson, allow him to operate at the top, 1-on-1. Brunson gets it, fires up a three. Shot no good, the tip, it's gone! It's gone! It's gone! With 1.2 remaining, Knicks take the lead. OG Anunoby, and it's 107-106.
Unbelievable sequence there. And you look at the guys, the gals, the celebrity row. Jerry Seinfeld looking up for what felt like 40 minutes, staring at the Jumbotron with his mouth open, saying, what the heck just happened? Here is OG Anunoby on what he saw from the iconic tip-in. Ended up being the game winner last night.
I inbounded the ball to Jalen. He got a pretty good look. And I just went and crashed, tried to get a tip dunk or something. The ball went over my head, so I couldn't really dunk it. So I just tried to tip it in softly, and it went in.
And the Knicks certainly met the moment last night, blitzed their way back from a 29-point deficit. That is the largest comeback in the history of the NBA Finals. Jalen Brunson left that initial shot a little off kilter, and OG Anunoby cleans it up. Here's Brunson and what he saw on the iconic play.
Yeah, top of the key. Got a decent look. Obviously, it was a little far, but had two guys contesting, so it was able to get some pressure on the rim. Got a good bounce off the rim, and OG being OG just made a play.
And that's Jalen Brunson on OG Anunoby. Anunoby leading New York last night with 33 points. More importantly, 7 of 9 from downtown. Let's hear from head coach Mike Brown on what he talks about an iconic shot in the history of basketball, specifically for that Knicks organization.
It's unbelievable. You know, tip, how he had to control it and tip it in from, I mean, like I said, you know, that has to be the most iconic shot in the history of New York basketball. I mean, I'm not you guys know better than me, but it was just unbelievable.
Unbelievable is the right word. Also unbelievable, the comeback for the New York Knicks, again down 29-76-49 was your halftime score. The Spurs score 30 points, not in the third quarter, not in the fourth quarter, just total. In the second half, 30 points. Here's Mike Wilbon on what made the comeback last night so stunning in game number 4.
It's the context of it all. Mm-hmm. To have it happen when it looks like the Knicks are going to have to drag themselves back to San Antonio tied with all the momentum in this thing changed. And it took, there's so many, look at the plays we've dissected so far. And the back story behind each play. Yeah, I can't come up with, maybe later today I will. I cannot come up with anything that's more stunning mm-hmm. than this. And all the things that were required to produce this. This is going to be a documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a movie. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you know, optioned all things media that it can be.
And certainly it deserves that credo. 107-106, the final score last night. Again, 76 points in the first half for San Antonio. And you get the feeling at that stage, even at the end of the first quarter, you say, Oh, my goodness. The Knicks are going to blow this series. The Spurs are going to come all the way back. They might win this in six. That's how crazy this has been. It continued into the halftime break. It was all smiles for Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. And there was a lot of blame to go around. A lot of people piling on Mitch Johnson today, including me. I can't believe what we saw in the second half last night. But David Jennings Jr. going to calm us all down and say, you can't be too hard on the Spurs head coach after last night.
I was at the State Farm Massacre when the Knicks did that to the Hawks at Game 6, right? One of the lowest moments in the Hawks' history. The next series demoralized Philadelphia and then pantsed Cleveland, and now you're doing it again. Like, you can't make a move based on a team that is just doing this to everybody. They're doing it to everybody.
They're doing it to everybody, but the fact of the matter is the Spurs are showcasing one thing to me, and that is the immaturity. We talk about all these old adages in sports that get floated around, and everybody says, okay, boomer, that's not how it goes anymore. Yes, it is. There's a reason we talk all the time before a Super Bowl, before a national championship game, before NBA Finals, NHL Finals, Wimbledon Finals. We talk about the been there, done that, tried and true, handling the moments, handling pressure, being resilient. And the Spurs are not that. In most of these games of the four thus far, San Antonio has collapsed and fallen like a house of cards late in the contest. And last night, I'm not saying I called it, I saw it coming, but as you move towards the fourth quarter and things got a little closer, San Antonio's shot selection, their execution, their game plan, their timeout usage or non-usage was incredibly damning. They couldn't buy a bucket. They didn't have good looks. They barely had any jabs to counter the haymakers that were coming their way from New York. And the haymakers were the consistent, steady Eddie approach of OG Anunoby. Tim Legler, very much a fan of Anunoby's play last night and keeping his team afloat.
I think people are going to be questioning the San Antonio Spurs decision-making down the stretch offensively, but really none of this matters if Jalen Brunson doesn't get hot and OG Anunoby doesn't keep them alive and keep their head above water during that stretch before Brunson got hot, because they weren't getting a lot of contributions up and down their roster. This really was two guys carrying them offensively. So it was almost fitting. If they were going to win the game in that fashion, it was going to be OG Anunoby, because of the game he had start to finish. He was their rock tonight until Jalen Brunson could get it going in the second half.
And certainly there's a lot of praise to go around on that New York Knicks side. How about some criticism to go around on De'Aaron Fox, who was in the crosshairs of Chris Canty this morning on Unsportsmanlike?
Your teammates tell you not to be that guy. Last night, De'Aaron Fox was that guy. Now, there are a myriad of different reasons why the Spurs lost that game and why the Knicks had a chance to grab it by the throat. But in that moment, when it comes down to effort, when it comes down to awareness, when it comes down to focus, things that are fully within your control as a player, for De'Aaron Fox not to exhibit any of that in the final minute of the game, when the sole purpose for him being on the court is to provide veteran leadership, is egregious. I know the series ain't over. If San Antonio could, they should pack his crap up today and ship him somewhere else. He came from Sacramento. Haul his ass back out there, because he lost that game for the San Antonio Spurs as much as anybody did last night.
And that's Chris Canty. To be fair, it is a microcosm. We're overreacting here. De'Aaron Fox certainly has a lot of egg on his face last night. And the bozo of the night from a Spurs perspective, that of course doesn't include the coaching staff and Mitch Johnson specifically, for not using substitutions, not resting Wemby when they're up 29 points, even 22, 24, 20-point lead. You sit there on the bench and say, okay, if it gets to 18, if it gets to 15, we'll get Wemby back in this game, or we're going to get our other stars some rest. They didn't even consider that last night, and that was a damning misuse of your bench last night from a Spurs perspective. But to be fair to De'Aaron Fox, he is one of the reasons, and on the short list of reasons why they have one win in this series, he was pretty darn clutch in game number three. So let's move forward here. Game four on Saturday, Knicks and the Spurs from San Antonio, 7:30 on ABC. Michelle Smallman saying you can't count Wemby out if you believe him to be that good.
Their backs are against the wall in the most significant way. And if we're going to talk about Victor Wembanyama in the same breath as LeBron James, as Michael Jordan, as some of the greats to play this game, then out of respect for what we have said about him and for what he's shown us, we cannot say that it's over. If he's supernatural, then we need to expect Arcana, that he can do something that we've never seen, if he's the type of player that we have built him up to be. And we've talked a lot about the rest factor. He's going to have more rest in between games if the series continues, obviously, past five. But I am not going to count out him. I will not count out Wemby.
That's Michelle Smallman. Will not count out Wemby. Well, Vegas agrees, at least for game number five. Knicks and the Spurs Saturday night, 7:30 on ABC. Of course, the Knicks lead 3-1. Spurs backs against the wall, and they're favored by 5.5 points on their home floor. We'll see how that they respond from that historic collapse last night. 29-point comeback, largest in NBA Finals history. NHL Stanley Cup Final, Game 5 tonight from Raleigh. Canes home to the Golden Knights. 7 o'clock coverage on ABC. That series tied 2 games apiece. And Carolina, heavy favorite on the puck line, minus 162 as of this morning. Finals from Major League Baseball yesterday. Yankees double up the Guardians 8-4. Minnesota finds a way to win in Detroit. And just as we referenced moments ago, everybody loves a comeback, maybe except for the Spurs fans this morning. How about the comeback of Royce Lewis yesterday to the Twins lineup?
3-1 on the way. Swung on, a hit high in the air for Royce. Long fly ball to deep left field. It's 50 for Royce. His 50th career home run clears the bullpens, and the Twins lead 1-0. Welcome back.
Welcome back indeed to Royce Lewis. Byron Buxton having a great year, especially putting the ball over the fence, and that continued yesterday.
Byron lifts one high and deep to left and into the bullpen for a home run. 3-run homer for Byron Buxton on the first pitch he sees from Framber Valdez, and the Twins take a 4-1 lead.
Nice win yesterday for Minnesota. 6-4 the final. Twins are now 31-38. Detroit sent down to 28-40. St. Louis over the Mets yesterday 9-2. White Sox win again against Atlanta 2-1, and the White Sox now 36-31 on the season. Other finals in the AL Central, Kansas City lost in extras at home to the Rangers 6-4. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, we're on the air early, off the air early, making way for the Twins and Tigers. Game 3 of the series from Detroit, 11:30. Your pregame coverage, 12:10, your official start time right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. D1 Baseball, the College World Series, officially beginning tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock on ESPN. Country roads take me home. West Virginia taking on Troy, 1 o'clock on ESPN. West Virginia favored minus 210 on the money line, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. Later on tomorrow night, Ole Miss, North Carolina, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Tar Heels favored there. And Saturday, Oklahoma, Alabama, 2 o'clock on ESPN. The Tide favored minus 120. And then it's anybody's guess for Texas and Georgia Saturday night, the conclusion of round one of the College World Series, 7 o'clock on ESPN from down in Omaha. FIFA World Cup action begins today. Stay up to date. We'll have a lot of World Cup talk later on in the show today. Full preview, a look at your odds and your favorite teams. Mexico and South Africa get us going this afternoon at 2 o'clock on Fox. South Korea takes on Czechia, 9 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And tomorrow, Canada takes on Bosnia-Herzegovina, 2 o'clock on Fox, and USA takes on Paraguay, 8 o'clock on Fox, coming up tomorrow night. We will take a break. When we come back, we're talking getting right to that College World Series action. A man who follows with the ACC Network, the Tar Heel baseball program, and college baseball in general. Our friend Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network, full preview of the action down the road in Omaha that will certainly boost your weekend. Coming up immediately next, Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network previewing Troy, West Virginia, Ole Miss, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, and Georgia. The 8 teams that are descending upon Omaha beginning action tomorrow in the 2026 College World Series. That's next on this Thursday edition of Overtime.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
We are just getting off the ground on an early and shortened edition of Overtime. On the air at 10, off the air at 11:30, making way for those Minnesota Twins, hopefully, to keep up the scoring and victories against those Detroit Tigers. Minnesota in action 12:10 this afternoon, 11:30. Pre-game coverage right here along the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Speaking of baseball, College World Series officially underway from Omaha tomorrow. Troy, West Virginia, leading us off 1 o'clock on ESPN. Here to make some ones and twos for us of the entire field. What to expect, the experience of Omaha, and more is our friend Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network. And Wayne, before we hop to you, man, I got to ask you, do you feel like you have the world's greatest target on your back? Because lately, everything around your sports life appears to be full send in the center of the sports world. You got the New York Knicks in the finals. You got the Carolina Hurricanes out there in Raleigh in the Stanley Cup finals. You got the College World Series getting going. I don't know if you're a soccer fan either. You got the World Cup. It seems like a busy week for Wayne McDonald Jr. How you doing and how you handling the crosshairs on you, Wayne?
Well, I'm just very happy for the Tar Heels. And as you and I know, if the Knicks can pull this off, I think the island of Manhattan will crack into half because it's been 53 years, and that was arguably the greatest comeback in NBA playoffs history last night, and I'm still in shock because that first half was something, if I were a Knicks fan, I would want to have forgotten that very quickly.
Coach's dream last night also in the terms of hustle. And, you know, it's not about the guy that puts up the three. It's the guy that puts out the effort to follow it up just in case. And OG Anunoby, that just in case hero last night for New York, giving them a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. Let's talk Canes and Knights. What is your sense of things going on in Raleigh in that loud venue ahead of game number 5 coming up tonight?
That's a great series. Mm-hmm. You know, everywhere you go in the state, you know, I was in Charlotte a couple of days ago, and the people are driving from Charlotte to games, and they don't care. It's just this, that's another community that's desperately wanting that Stanley Cup. And you got two great teams, and, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It's electrifying. But I'm looking at Raleigh. If they can pull this off, it's fertile ground for other things that can happen in the future of that market, maybe Major League Baseball.
Certainly. I knew you were going to go there. It's a great town. And certainly, yeah, they support the heck out of those Canes. And hopefully they can find a way to get the job done. That game tonight, 7 o'clock on ABC. But Wayne, of course, we got you on to talk some baseball, man. College World Series. What is this week like for you personally, for those that you rub elbows with professionally as you gear up for Omaha here in 2026? Should be a pretty darn fun week plus ahead there at the College World Series.
Well, it's a total blast. As you know, I'm the regular season color analyst for North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those text messages and phone calls this week have been a lot of fun. A mutual friend of ours, Matt Krause, mm-hmm. a guy I worked with for play-by-play for many years, he said it best to me at the outset of the NCAA tournament. He said either one or two things is going to happen in North Carolina. They're going to lose in the regional because it was a ridiculously tough regional, or they're going to win the College World Series. And I texted him in a broadcast booth after the victory against Southern Cal the other day, and I said, Matt, I guess you're correct. So it's just been electrifying. The games, Southern Cal had North Carolina. I love that you're seeing Troy in West Virginia mm-hmm. in the College World Series. And look, here's reality. You got five teams from the SEC. The SEC is the big dog in the yard. But I do believe if the stars do align and the pitching aligns, North Carolina could be playing for it all.
And certainly they're favored to do so. North Carolina, two-way tie as of right now at DraftKings Sportsbook with Georgia plus 275. Other favorites, Texas at plus 300. That's the most accomplished team historically in terms of winning national titles. Texas, then West Virginia and Ole Miss in that top five right now. Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network is our guest. Wayne, describe Omaha and the ballpark and the overall atmosphere to somebody that's never been there before any game, big moment, small moment, just being in that ballpark, what's it like down there this week in Omaha for the College World Series?
It's a religious experience. It's a bucket list item for any sports fan. I think it's so appropriate that the College World Series is in the heartland of America, because it just, everything about it, it's the families, it's the communities, it's the camaraderie. And, you know, you're seeing the best of the best college baseball. And then I am of the belief, and I'm biased here because I live and breathe college baseball for a good portion of the year, that it's better than minor league baseball in some cases. And you can tell by the talent how quickly they're getting drafted and they're bouncing into the major leagues. I mean, look, only a couple of years ago, Paul Skeen was pitching in the College World Series. You know, so the talent is extraordinary. The environment is unbelievable, and it's just going to get better. And I think ESPN has done a masterful job of promoting the game, both also college softball, and I think the best is yet to come. So, you know, for the next 10 days starting tomorrow, if you're a casual fan, tune in to ESPN, because guess what? You're going to see some of the best college baseball in the country, and you're going to have a great time of it.
And certainly there's a lot of storylines to watch. And one of my favorite things outside of the baseball diamond is that Jello shot tracker at Rocco's as well. They're already off, by the way. West Virginia, the leader in the clubhouse, first to the century mark so far, according to the very honest Twitter page, as always. Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network. Let's talk about UNC. Wayne, why are they favored? What makes this team special, dynamic, and different than the rest of the field?
They're balanced. So as someone who has seen a fair share of their games, I've seen them at their best and I've seen them at their worst. And I think they're at their best when Jason DeCaro is clicking. And then he is complemented by Ryan Lynch in the starting rotation. Now we're seeing the third option used to be Folger Boas. Now it's Caden Glauber, a freshman. But, you know, this is a kid that's throwing. He should be just finishing up his high school prom, and he's throwing 95 to 97 with regularity. The big knock on North Carolina for most of the season was the lack of power. But they still scored runs because they knew how to manufacture runs. So if there is one thing I think that they're built for, previous teams have gone to Omaha predicated on power. Now, Omaha plays big, where now this North Carolina team can, you know, put up a lot of crooked numbers on the scoreboard, all on manufacturing runs in a different way rather than the home run.
Certainly, North Carolina, one of those favored teams. Let's talk about the matchup with Ole Miss. That is a very successful, storied program. Recently got over the hump for their first national title. Very well coached in Mike Bianco. What do you think about the challenge Ole Miss presents in game one? It's certainly not a make or break game, but you'd like to get off on the right foot here in Omaha in game number one coming up tomorrow night.
Well, I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. If I'm North Carolina, I'm definitely concerned. That's a tough matchup because think of it this way. If you drop to Ole Miss, where you're getting the loser of Troy, West Virginia, and those are two very hungry teams, and I've been very impressed with what I've seen with both of them. And I don't know, don't sleep on West Virginia. There is something pretty special. They got some of that West Virginia magic working now. So I'm of the thought process, hey, that first game is make or break because you dig yourself a hole. And then the option there is Troy or West Virginia. Now, I think the other side of the coin is a little bit rougher, given, you know, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, and Georgia. But, look, I'm looking at it. Hey, you're throwing Jason DeCaro against Ole Miss. You better win that bowl game.
Certainly, there's a lot of big games ahead. Again, it gets going. Troy, West Virginia, tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock from Omaha. Ole Miss, North Carolina, 6 o'clock. And Saturday, early afternoon, Oklahoma, Alabama. And then it's Texas and Georgia. It's kind of a SEC football Saturday at the College World Series. Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network is our guest. Lastly, Wayne, before we cut you loose, man, give me your pick for the College World Series. I'm not going to call you a homer because if it is UNC, they're favored. So you're a logical person, but give me a dark horse pick as well. Somebody that might not be in that top two, top three range of odds that you really like and why.
So on paper, I would like to see North Carolina, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's where it is. But there's something about Texas. I like Texas. I like the West Virginia story right now. Mm-hmm. I think West Virginia is probably better than Troy at this moment. So that's a team that I would be concerned with, West Virginia coming from the one side. But I do believe if the pitching lines up for North Carolina, it could be North Carolina. And I go back to what our mutual friend Matt Krause said, either one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to lose in the regional or they're going to win it all. And as someone who's worked closely with him for the past 5 years, I'm going to go with him and say that North Carolina, I think they win it all.
There you go, North Carolina. Wayne, I told you before our conversation hit the air, I completely forgot about it, but I'm coming back. I'm circling back. Names to know, personalities always shine bright in Omaha this coming week. Give me a name or two, player or two that we need to know from any squad coming up in Omaha beginning tomorrow.
Okay, so one player I would really like your audience to know about, and he's a special guy, is Eric Paulson, mm-hmm. First baseman from North Carolina. And here is the reason why. It's a young man who transferred from Stony Brook to North Carolina this past year. And in July of 2025, his dad passed away of cancer related to 9/11 because his dad was a New York City police officer. And the young man wears his dad's badge underneath his uniform when he plays. He's a very special young man, and you can't help but pull for young people like that. So, very talented first baseman. He is a vacuum at first base. He is a high contact batting average, quality ball player. But I encourage your audience to do some homework on Eric Paulson. ACC Network did a fantastic little special on him. He's a young man, and he's one of the reasons why you root for these kids going to Omaha.
Certainly all sorts of great storylines, and that one certainly worth noting there. Eric Paulson, the name to know, first baseman for North Carolina. Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network. Wayne, for you, I hope the Tar Heels get the job done this week and next week, my friend in Omaha. Appreciate the time as always. Go get them, and we'll talk again down the road.
Many thanks, Bert, and have a great day.
We absolutely will. Always a great day with Wayne McDonald Jr. on the line with us here on Overtime. We got you previewed, ready to rumble for the College World Series again. Tomorrow is going to be the start of the action. Jello Shot Challenge underway in Omaha, apparently. West Virginia fans bringing the heat. No surprise to me. Troy and West Virginia will get underway tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock, the start time on ESPN. Other matchups, Ole Miss, North Carolina tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Saturday, Oklahoma, Alabama at 2. Texas and Georgia tussle at 7 o'clock. All the action on ESPN. Great full preview there from Wayne McDonald Jr. of the ACC Network. Well informed, well engaged, well woven into the fabric of that North Carolina baseball program, and certainly one of the favorites to win it all in Omaha. North Carolina and Georgia plus 275. Texas within sniffing distance at plus 300. West Virginia, Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Troy, the Trojans, the longest of long shots in Omaha, coming up to action beginning tomorrow for the 2026 College World Series. When we come back, we're going to have to pinch ourselves again and say, wait, did that really happen last night in the NBA? We dive deeper into the storylines, the gaffes, the mishaps, and if the Spurs have a pilot light remaining in the series. What if they win Game 5? What if they win Game 5 by 30? Are you buying this team? I am out. OUT on the Spurs' chances in the series. We'll dive right in to the NBA World Cup and a look at your odds coming up next on a Thursday, June 11th edition of Overtime.
It's so convenient. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Back with you on this Thursday, June 11th edition of Overtime. NBA talk on the way. World Cup sprinkled in as well. And a nice long look at the odds and where Team USA may stack up at this year's World Cup across the United States, predominantly. Also just in North America, Canada hosting some games, Mexico hosting some games, and hopefully Team USA can at least make their way out of the group stage. We'll do our best. I'm not typically a soccer guy, but just like you out there, my interest peaks up a little bit around the World Cup and around the Olympics, and we'll preview the World Cup festivities as that gets underway today for the World Cup. 2 o'clock on Fox, game one of the entire tournament, Mexico and South Africa. Team USA tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Fox. They'll take on Paraguay in their first game of three in the group stage. But let's talk about the game, the most iconic game we've seen in a long time in any area of an NBA season. Happened last night at MSG. If you missed it, I'm sorry. Find a way to watch it back, pretend it's live, and get an honest-to-goodness reaction of what the heck happened last night from a Spurs perspective. And oh my gosh, we did it! From a Knicks perspective, finding their way back into the fold. Mike Brown winked. Jalen Brunson paused. The patrons of MSG stayed attached to each other well after not able to believe what they had witnessed. According to ESPN.com, the biggest comeback in NBA Finals history. OG Anunoby etched himself into Knicks and NBA lore with a performance that put New York on the brink of winning their first title since 1973. His follow-up, his cleanup, his tip-in off of the Brunson miss on a three-pointer, barely got his fingertips on it, was just enough. And the difference in the Knicks' eventual 107-106 win over the Spurs that saw them rally from not 10, not 12 in the fourth quarter, but 29-point second-half deficit. Brown challenged OG Anunoby at halftime to be more active on the offensive glass, and it was almost as if fate had intervened. Anunoby outreached the long and athletic Dylan Harper and Devin Vassell for the basket, and Anunoby inbounded the ball to Brunson, unleashed a deep three with 4.3 to go, and by 2.1 seconds, Ananobi's fingers were on the ball, touching history. Mike Brown saying you have to have a little luck in life, you got to have a little luck in sports, but you also make your own luck too. So you got to have some natural luck and some luck where you're going to make your own luck. And that was probably the biggest message. No doubt about it. I told Wayne McDonald Jr. a minute ago, and I mean this, that's the ultimate coaching point. Anybody that coaches basketball says, see? See right there? That's exactly what we want every single play. That energy, that follow-up, that, you know, just in case, I'm going to be there. I'm going to out-jump, out-leap, out-hustle whoever else is trying to clean up this glass because it's that big of a moment. OG Anunoby didn't shy away from it, and the Spurs certainly did. Where was their energy last night? Where was their focus? Where was their grit, determination that you can't stop me? We're kicking your butt at halftime. And you expect the Spurs to have a little pedal to the metal, not full blast, not let's wear ourselves out here in a game that just advances the series, but you expected a little bit more. And there's a lot of finger pointing going on. De'Aaron Fox is certainly the hold my beer stooge of the night for what happened very late in that game, where he had a steal, had a decent look, not a completely open look, but a decent look at the basket with a trailer behind him. And he opts to go for that with a lead instead of bleeding some valuable seconds off and forcing the Knicks to foul him. It reminds you of the Duke game in the NCAA tournament. Do anything other than what you did. Anything else than what you did. And now De'Aaron Fox certainly under some criticism. But to me, the lion's share of critique and criticism needs to go to the coaching staff of the Spurs. And you can point your finger at Mitch Johnson, but also the assistant coaches for not saying, hey Mitch, what are we doing here? Why are we not taking a timeout? Why are we trusting these guys? They're out of gas. We need some substitutions in the ballgame. How about some creative timeouts? How about some, what the heck are we doing, guys? Calm down. Let's play our game here. We're up big. It's the NBA Finals. They ran out of gas, 30 points in the second half after a 76-point first half effort, reluctance to use timeouts, and probably the most damning time to not use substitutions wasn't really the fourth quarter when the Knicks were making their comeback and you had to have your guys on the floor because you needed it. That's fine. But that third quarter out of the halftime break early on, get those guys some rest. Get them some rest. I argued with a coworker this morning, and it wasn't really much of an argument. He said, you know, you're probably right. If the Spurs trot out their frontline backups in the second half, does that collapse happen? Just based on energy level alone, And they wouldn't do that, but if they trot out players 6 through 10, talent-wise on the roster, that fit the positions they need, talking Cornette and more out there, do they have that collapse based on energy level alone? Probably not. Possible. Probably not, but if you give those guys some minutes, utilize timeouts, work through the ups and downs in the game of runs we talk about in every basketball game ever, you kind of avoid that. Give Wemby some rest. Situationally use him. Have him be dominant in the fourth quarter. Have him be that brick wall that he can be. When you need him to be that brick wall, and certainly there's a lot of blame to go around. And to quote the late, great Denny Green, you want to crown him, then crown him. I'm ready to crown the New York Knicks, and I'm ready to crown a finals MVP. Here's Jorge Sedano on who he thinks has earned that distinction through the first four games of the series.
I'm going with OG all day, every day, okay? That guy's been the most consistent player throughout four games now, and he just gave you the game winner. Like, to me, you know, yes, you can say Brunson. Yeah, maybe you can say Cat. No. If I have a vote, and I don't know if I do, but have in the past, I will vote for OG Anunoby if it's right now.
And that's Jorge Sedano. More from Sedano here on how the Spurs respond, recover. Do they recover from this in game number 5? I think that's fairly possible that they could win game 5. I don't think they're going anywhere fast to the series. I think at length, this will go 6 tops. I know that's not much of a hot take for you, just how I feel this morning. Here's Sedano on how the Spurs possibly could recover in the series.
I don't know, man. They're kind of young and loose and, you know, like, they might. I guess it's possible. You know, I think because you're young, you don't really understand the magnitude of what's transpiring, right? Like, but, man, that's got to be tough. Like, I don't know what you could do there. I don't envy Mitch Johnson because he coached a hell of a game. His guys really just didn't execute. I mean, even if you watch the last play with 1.2 seconds left, Castle was open, and they you know, Cat was able to get like a finger on it, man, on that pass. It just, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know if they can come back and win another game, but I guess I wouldn't put it past them because, look, we thought they weren't going to win a game, you know, in game 3 after the way that game 2 ended up. So I guess we shouldn't doubt them.
You know, I agree with most of that except for the whole Mitch Johnson coaching a hell of a game. He coached a hell of a half of a game and then, frankly, was one of the key engineers in that locomotive making some wrong decisions late in the game, to put it kindly. Look at the odds here in the NBA Finals. Knicks have taken off predictably. They're minus 500 now. Spurs paying out plus 380. And in case you're looking ahead, we'll get this immediately after the conclusion of the Finals. Spurs, Thunder, Celtics, Knicks, Pacers, your top 5 teams in next year's odds in the NBA Finals. Quickly here on the World Cup. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but certainly it moves the needle. It begins today across the United States. Kansas City, the nearest venue to us. Other games, Los Angeles, Seattle, New York, and so much more. Going to be a lot of fun. A total of 48 nations are in attendance this year and vying for the World Cup. It begins this afternoon on Fox, where Mexico meets South Africa. Here's a little bit of a preview. I put it up at ESPNSiouxFalls.com yesterday. I worked hard to type up something that I don't know much about and to pull a couple reference points in here. So here's a little bit more on the format this year as opposed to recent years. Recently in the World Cup, it's been a 32-team field. This year, it's 48, and here's how it works. You got 12 groups. We're in the group stage, and groups are labeled with letters A through L. Team USA is in group letter D. Once all 3 rounds of group matches are complete, only 32 teams move on. So traditionally, when it was a 32-team field, in the group stage, you had to be in the top 2 to punch your ticket. You earn points through the process. Top 2, punch your ticket on to the next round. Now, this year is way different. There's 48 teams in the group stage. 32 move on. The top 2 teams qualify, totaling 24 places. And then the 8 best third-place teams across all 12 groups take the remaining spots. And the 4 weakest third-place teams go home, along with every team that brings up the rear of their group. So 12 group winners, 12 runner-up, and 8 best third-place sides. That's completely calculated by points for, points against, margin of loss, margin of win moving forward. So Team USA's group, Group D, features Paraguay, Australia, and Turkey. That is T-U-R-K-I-Y-E spelling now. And Team USA will take on Paraguay in game number 1 tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Fox. They will meet up with Australia a week from tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock the 19th in Seattle. Tomorrow night's game is in Los Angeles. And then game three against Turkey will be Thursday, June 25th, 9 o'clock Central from L.A. All three of those games broadcast on Fox and streamable on Peacock. So Group D round robin play will conclude on that Thursday, June 25th. So at that stage, we'll have a much better idea about the prospects, the likelihood that Team USA could be moving on to that knockout stage. I also linked in the Team USA roster to that full preview article, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Let's take a look quickly at the World Cup odds. How realistic is it that Team USA makes it to the knockout stage? Pretty realistic, frankly. They're favored to do so. Are they favored to win the whole thing? Absolutely, positively not. Let's set the expectation here. You can bang your chest, you can beat your chest and say, USA, you should be doing that at the World Cup. Is it a futile exercise? No. Is it going to happen and Team USA is going to win the World Cup? Likely not. I'm not raining on your parade. I'm just saying here, not trying to be the bad guy. Let's set our expectations. This is a feisty bunch, fun to root for, should be in every single game they play. But here's your favorites here in front of Team USA. And if I count this correctly, Team USA has the 14th best odds in the 48-team field. So we're right up there near the top quarter. Spain and France are 1 and 2, plus 450, plus 475. England third, Portugal fourth, Brazil fifth. Argentina tied for fifth with Brazil. Rounding out the top 10, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, and Colombia. And then ahead of Team USA, Belgium, Morocco, and Japan. And credit where credit is due, three teams immediately on the heels of USA, Switzerland, Mexico, and Uruguay. And again, Team USA taking on Paraguay coming up tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Fox for their game one of the World Cup. Quick look at the money line odds there for Team USA. It looks as if the away team for Team USA is minus 110 on the money line for game number one. So it should be a pretty darn close one. Team USA, Paraguay, 8 o'clock on Fox. Today at the World Cup, Mexico, South Africa, 2 o'clock on Fox. South Korea taking on Czechia tonight, 9 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Full preview of the 2026 World Cup, a introduction to the roster, as well as a little bit, my best explanation of the format and where we go from here. Game one, 2 o'clock on Fox, ESPNSiouxFalls.com, where you can find that article. That's hour one. Hour number 1.5 is on the way. We clear the air at 11:30, making way for the Minnesota Twins. But before then, headlines and highlights, the good, the bad, the ugly, the latest from the NFL, and an update from our favorite tight end in the National Football League. That is Tucker Kraft, coming up in hour number 2 of Overtime right after this.